Blog Talk Radio.
Following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us at Radio Hypno Show with Tina, George, and Jay. Tonight, UC Berkeley Riots, the Antifa movement. Meanwhile, enjoy tonight's intro music, but please, by Johnny Ray. Johnny's music on our Facebook page with links to all of his media. Follow him on gab.ai/Johnny, JOHNNYREI. I love that song. All right. Well, yeah, awesome. We have a couple new correspondences. I'm sorry?
I said it was awesome. Awesome song.
I just think that's some good shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have a couple new correspondents on the Action Pack show this week. Kurt was here last week and is a welcome addition to the team. We're also going to welcome Jared, who joins us for the first time tonight. Hey, guys, did you lose or your Super Bowl picks win this week?
I was working. I didn't even get to see the game.
You didn't put somebody out there?
No,
I didn't.
Guys, because nobody knows your voices yet. Tell everybody who's talking first. Kurt, go ahead and start. Did you have a Super Bowl pick?
No, you know I didn't. I was actually working. But if anybody's interested in Super Bowl memorabilia, especially for Tom Brady, check my eBay page.
Hey, uh-oh. We'll talk about it. Hey, call me after the show. Jared, did you have a Super Bowl pick?
Yeah, this is Jared. I had a pick for the Patriots to win because I'm a big Brady fan. So I don't bet on people that I have strong emotional ties to. But I've been saying that Tom Brady's the GOAT for about 10 years now.
Well, I just got to say one simple thing. I'm going to tell you where I'm originally from, and I'll let you work it out from there. I'm from Indianapolis.
Oh, I apologize.
I'm so sorry.
It's the Colts or whoever beats the Patriots. Let's welcome back my co-host tonight. It's our executive producer, George Angus. Did you watch the bowl, George, or were you working?
Yeah, you know, I didn't watch it, but it, as it turns out, my favorite team did not win.
Okay, so that's good enough.
My favorite team is whoever is playing those freaking Patriots. So
there you go. Hey,
again, I apologize.
Let's go ahead and kick in the big five, G.
Hey, let's do it. And let's
number five.
Number five of our big headlines tonight, Ginsburg wants the Electoral College changed. Well, guess what, Ruthie? Then you should run for Senate, run for Congress somehow. You don't legislate from the bench. So too bad, so sad for you.
Number four.
Number four, shut up, Liz Warren. She said she would not be silenced. Well, when you impugn one of your senators and break the rules, then you get silenced. And that's exactly what happened. It was precious to listen to. I got to tell you, I absolutely love it.
Number three,
and this is just this afternoon, Texas state legislature, the Senate, voted 20-11 to ban sanctuary cities in the Lone Star State. God bless the state of Texas, don't you know, huh?
Number two,
this is great. So after the Secretary of Education was confirmed, unhinged liberals have vowed that they will have no children. So all I got to say to that is winning. That's just awesome.
Number one,
and this was just about an hour ago, we have a new Attorney General. Mr. Sessions. So that is our top five headlines for tonight there, Jay and Dean.
Well, you cannot beat that. I'm not sure which one I'm more happy about. Probably the Shut Up Liz Warren. That's pretty sweet. And then, of course, what state other than Texas would not ban sanctuary cities? What do you guys think about the headlines? What's one of your favorite headlines in there, Liz? Did we lose Liz?
Nope. That Sessions was confirmed. I'm so
that's your
tired of winning.
One in there?
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
How about you, Kurt? Kurt, what's your favorite headline of the top five tonight?
Shut up, Liz. That video clip of her that's been playing on the internet all day is priceless. I mean, MasterCard should be using that.
Hey, I'll replay that like a porn movie, I'm telling you. Jared, what's your favorite top five tonight?
Well, I'll go with Texas saying that we will not have sanctuary cities because, A, I live in Texas. It's not surprising to me, but I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, I was too. Hey, Rob, up north, what was your favorite of the five? I know that you know, you're out of country and you take care of our northern stuff, but what's your favorite of the top five for America?
I like the Texas ban also. I think people like in the military shouldn't have to go overseas and then worry about their families while they're overseas.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said. Just as terror has no borders, as brought to us last week, the left libtards all over the planet, as well as told by Canadian correspondent Rob reports. Rob, give us your report this week, buddy.
Hi, just some little tidbits of news in Canada. We'll start with that. In Canada, we had more of the same in news. Justin Trudeau failed to deliver another campaign promise, abandoning his campaign promise on electoral reform. He was called a liar by other members of another Liberal Party in Canada, amongst other people. And Black Lives Matter held a protest, and they declared Justin Trudeau a terrorist in one of their strange gatherings. Montreal police, they arrested a man using his free speech online against Muslims. A similar arrest was made in Toronto over a year ago when a man spoke out against Muslims after the Paris attack. So it's kind of like a conflict against the Constitution is going on, so that's like a problem, but, you know, one of many here in Canada. And in Edmonton, there was news today, a Syrian refugee was arrested for molesting six girls under the age of 15 at a water park. And that's about it for the headlines. I'll go towards the move into the story on the Antifa in Canada now. Over the weekend,
yeah,
I did
go
some
right ahead. Go right ahead.
A bunch of their sites were taken down and information was scrubbed. Information that I went to get back later was gone. Things like that, websites gone. So it's probably both sides scrubbing and deleting. It's probably like the right getting them shut down and then the left's trying to like cover their tracks at the same time. But a history of the Antifa in Canada. In Canada, there's multiple factions of the anti-fascist, anti-racist movement. They're sometimes referred to as ARA or ARC, ARC, Anti-Racist Action and Anti-Racist Canada, respectively. They have existed in Canada since the 1960s. And reports of violence can be found dating back to the early 90s. In 1995, an anti-racist was stabbed and almost died in a brawl that began when 18 of their members, armed with pipes, followed several skinheads onto a subway, mistaking them for neo-Nazis. Experts on hate crimes in Canada say ARA still preaches hate and is intolerant of any views but ARA views. One time, Rebel Media reporter Laura Southern showed up to an anti-fascism counter-protest in front of the Railway Club on Dunsmuir Street in downtown Vancouver and was soaked with a bottle of urine. They also have regular run-ins with the Jewish Defense League, a far-right group advocating for zero tolerance against violent crimes committed against Jewish people. Another story, an American nationalist, Jared Taylor, paid the price for coming to Canada merely to express a nonviolent ideological speech by Antifa deviants who did not like his message. The controversial American writer and speaker who publicizes many views that some Canadians find offensive was assaulted at a Halifax hotel one Tuesday night after an obscenity-spouting group of protesters prevented him from delivering a talk on race and integration. Dozens of demonstrators, many of them young people hiding their faces like they do and, you know, everywhere. They shouted him down and then they began a violent assault on him. The terrorist nature of the group has even made the newspapers in the United States before the Jared Taylor incident. The Toronto chapter in particular has been repeatedly implicated in low-level terrorist attacks, like disruption of Holocaust revisionist meetings or throwing human excrement at houses of political opponents. Raids in Toronto have found guns, crossbows, bomb-making manuals, and indiscernible drugs. And that concludes my report.
You know, thanks a lot, Rob. You know, guys, you know, we think this is just a problem in America with these fucking liberals. I mean, this is insanity, throwing human waste at somebody because of their beliefs. Oh, my God. Help me out, George, or G, help me out.
Yeah, it's incredible to think about. I think it's also a little sad, but I would bet that a vast majority of Americans don't even realize what's happening just across the border, just north with all of that. That's a little scary and frightening in and of itself. But I'll tell you, the thing about your report, Rob, that I think probably grabbed me more than anything is people being arrested just for saying something anti-Muslim. That is just scary to think about. I mean, does that impact the everyday walking down the street of a Canadian? What do folks think about that?
I don't think people here in the western part of Canada are going to stand for that kind of policing for very long. I think you'll see, before that arrest number reaches 100, you'll see a police station burn down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
so now help me understand this, Rob. And I've heard reports from you before. It seems like Canada is divided in east and west. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, from the outside world, it appears that Ontario is sort of the top rung when it's really Alberta. Alberta pays for Canada, essentially.
You have part that's conservative and part that's ultra-liberal. Is that correct?
Yeah, and conservatives in Canada pay for liberal stupidity.
Wow.
Man, that's awful.
And I guess it's not that much different from... Go ahead.
There's a transfer system that basically takes billions of dollars, actually, from oil revenue and then turns it into Canadian government money instead of it being Alberta government money. So then all these social assistance welfare recipients in Eastern Canada are basically being paid for by these oil workers, extreme taxes and oil royalties, all coming out of Western Canada.
I get so perplexed. Jared, you have anything to add on the Canada situation versus, you know, our situation?
Yeah, I think there's some similarities and there's some parallels, but it sounds like Canada on a different level is actually paying for the liberals to not do much. Where in America, at least we do have a large amount of wealthy liberals who in Hollywood and business like tech companies and stuff like that. So, I mean, at least America, to a certain degree, people are putting, you know, the money where their mouth is, whether we agree with their politics or not. But in Canada, it sounds like that's not necessarily the case. Also, as far as like the speech crimes and the thought crimes, that's as scary as anything gets. Defending your beliefs or your city or your race and being arrested for that, I mean, that's Orwellian.
Yes, that's shocking. It's just shocking. Kurt, I mean, we have a lot of crap here ourselves, but isn't that just terrifying that you can be arrested for saying something anti-Muslim?
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it's horrifying. But, you know, in a lot of respects, we have the same thing here in the United States, only it's a little more subversive than what, you know, it's not so out in your face like it is in Canada. You have the mainstream media that's stifling actual news stories, you know, and you got fake Tapper on there and he's running his mouth nine hours out of the day, and it's all just propaganda. Our propaganda here seems to be more mainstream and it's almost scheduled.
Yeah, absolutely. Liz, I know your report's coming up, but Liz, you see a contrast to Canada and the U.S., or does it seem like it's just a wow factor
like
or something else?
It's a wow factor, but there are a lot of parallels. I mean, really scary when you aren't able to use your free speech and your First Amendment rights. And, I mean, I don't know exactly what the Constitution of Canada says, but to be arrested for your thoughts and your speech, that's just scary.
George, too. Well, I mean, George, you're an international guy. Are you seeing different countries have their own different left and right deal like this? And are they contrast or are they parallel? What are you seeing?
Germany had a similar scenario where they arrested people for speaking out against Muslims. And also Austria and Romania right now are having big uprisings against the government for refusing to implement reform and listen to the people. So, yeah, there's definitely a worldwide trend. What thing about Canada is that I believe that 50% or more of their population are non-Canadians. So that's going to really change things going forward.
Now, also, George, too, why I got you in here real quick, we're seeing a fundamental change to the right in different countries. Le Pen is up in France, coming up in their election later this year. There was another country, was it the Netherlands? You're going to have to correct me, that just elected a Trump-like leader. So we're seeing a shift go to the right, are we not?
Well, God, hopefully. I mean, we're starting with the Brexit. The Brexit's a big push, even though George Soros, via a group that he formed, Gina Miller, I believe her name is, tried to stop the Brexit by using a parliamentary vote, which, thank God, that Theresa May now is not going to allow the parliament to affect the Brexit.
Yeah.
Although
they had a big vote today. Was it today they had a big vote, George, too?
I don't know if they voted today or not, but I do know that
PMs,
Scotland is resisting the exit of the EU, even though they're part of the
PMs
UK.
The PMs either voted today or yesterday. Forgive me, I should know this better. I'm thinking it was today. They overwhelmingly voted for to continue Article 50. Is that what it is, right?
Article 50 lets them come out of the EU.
Okay.
And,
all right. Yeah. All right. Well.
Well, they already
had
voted on it. The people spoke. The parliament decided to intercede and wanted to put their 2 cents in. It almost caused a civil war.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know it was, but somebody during Liz's report, see if you can pull up the PMs. I believe it's the PMs that had a vote today or something to overwhelmingly activate Article 50. Somebody, look, George, except your producer, if you can look into that for me during Liz's report. The absolute horrific riots that took place at UC Berkeley, that the police received a stand-down order while thugs dressed in black terrorized the town. Senior national correspondent Liz dug in and reports efforts to get a comment from officials was impossible. Liz?
Hi there. This kind of ties into what George reported on a couple of weeks ago about the colleges being very left and intolerant of the right. And is the left trying to take away our First Amendment rights? They're not allowing free speech? The Berkeley PD and SWAT team were told to stand down. I tried to reach the police department and the mayor's office, and I hit a brick wall as to who gave that order. They were less than accommodating with information. The campus police, according to my sources, are the ones that issued the stand down order. This may have come from as far up as the college chancellor. A stand-down order means that the police sit and watch and are not allowed to do anything. It seems as if Trump supporters have targets on their backs. If you're going out by yourself in a very liberal area and promoting Trump in any visible way, you really need to make sure you protect yourself. It's been reported that Ian Dabney Miller, a staff member at the college, was bragging about beating a conservative during the riot. He was responsible for the brutal beating of the man, and he is now under FBI investigation. The protest at Berkeley was in opposition to Milo Yiannopoulos giving a speech on campus. Milo is a British journalist and editor for Breitbart News. He is a far-right conservative and very popular with the younger voters. He tours college campuses countrywide and was scheduled to give a speech last Wednesday night at Berkeley. Violent protests turned into an actual riot. They were throwing Molotov cocktails. They lit a tree on fire, smashing glass, causing over $100,000 worth of damage. A number of injuries were reported. These are paid protesters from Antifa and the Black Bloc. The Black Bloc is a political terrorist group that, despite lack of mainstream media coverage, is growing and growing quickly. A sick display of violence, a targeted attack against President Trump. This group has no boundaries whatsoever. There is one specific group called AZ Antifa Front that was involved. They threatened a conservative reporter's daughter on Twitter. A couple of posts read, quote, "Be careful, doll, for your daughter's sake," unquote. Twitter did make her remove the post, but she immediately posted again, wording it differently. The second threat was, quote, "Then you better believe we have no problem threatening your leaders and their kids. Watch your back, alt-Rikers. No one's off-limits," unquote. This particular Twitter account still has not been suspended, although the threats have been turned over to the FBI for investigation. Tim Kaine was on one of the morning news shows 2 days before the Berkeley riots broke out. He was calling all Democrats to do whatever it takes to fight Trump in the streets, online, and at the ballot box. "We are not afraid of the popular outcry. We're encouraged, energized by it, and that's going to help us do our job better." Wow, I think it's time, or way past time, for Obama, Clinton, or Kaine, or all of them, to call off the dogs. They have their lefties so riled up. The New York protest, New York University protest, had a very similar feel to it, except there were 11 arrests and no stand-down orders. This was last Thursday and was in opposition to Gavin McInnes, a far-right Canadian speaker. He was there to promote free speech, ironically. There was, again, violence from Antifa, so much so that Gavin went home so covered in pepper spray, he tweeted out that he hugged his child and gave him the hives. This protest was organized through a Facebook post and was called "Disrupt Gavin McInnes at NYU." The protesters started out by interrupting him as he spoke, and then they broke into the room where he was speaking. Donald Trump was quoted on Friday as saying, "Professional anarchists, thugs, and paid protesters are proving the point of the millions of people who voted to make America great again." I, for one, couldn't agree more. As we are learning so fast, anything that is put together this fast is going to have the name Soros attached to it. He has ties to over 56 partner organizations calling for protests. There may or may not be monetary payment involved. Sometimes the protesters are offered legal aid, housing, food, or other things that encourage them to incite mayhem. Special interest groups have funding. They are very organized, and make no mistake about it, they will pay to support their agenda. The funding is important because Soros has ties to color revolutions and political uprisings worldwide. What is his end game? A new American revolution like we haven't seen since 1776. He has already succeeded in Kiev and Ukraine. If you oppose Antifa, you can find the petition at change.org.
Absolute smashing report, Liz. This report makes my fucking blood just explode. I mean,
so many big
names
in there.
We went 8 fucking years of this bullshit of Obama. I don't remember one fucking violent protest, let alone a protest that the right or the conservatives carried out, especially burning down buildings. And oh my God, this just makes me want to fucking explode. George, or G, I mean, put some perspective on this.
Yeah, it's scary times. Scary times. You know, I breathed a sigh of relief when Trump got elected. I breathed another sigh of relief when he was inaugurated. And I'm scared it might all be for naught. I do not like the direction that this is taking things. These are rioters. They are anarchists. And until someone figures out a way to make George Soros go away, I don't think this is going away. And it pisses me off. It's scary times, Jay. Scary times.
We made this post the other day about to Jeff Sessions that if you want 80% of this to disappear, indict and charge George Soros for fucking terrorism, funding terrorism.
Yeah.
Now, Liz, where do you see how
this,
Liz, in your gut of guts, where do you see this going? Do you see this really going into a civil action or martial law?
I don't see martial law. I see a lot more protests on the horizon. I see that the left will do anything to get Trump out of office.
Oh, my gosh.
They're not going to stop.
You know what I see? I see some conservatives. You see, they're pulling this shit in places like Berkeley. They're pulling this shit in liberal areas. They want to bring this shit down
in Texas.
Exactly. No. If they want to pull that shit in Texas, Georgia, Alabama, or even, you know,
no way.
One of our spots in Florida, it ain't going to fly.
No, everybody carries.
Exactly. Kurt, what's your heads and tails on this?
Why?
Well, I think that Liz is on the right track. I think this is going to continue, and I think as long as Soros is out there and he's funding all this stuff, and make no mistake, Soros is not alone in this. You have a lot of other special interest billionaires that are funneling money to him as well. But I think this is going to continue until the people who want to actually make America great again have had enough and just slap the snot right out of these professional protesters. And I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Go ahead, Liz.
I have read where his son is also getting involved, and he's swearing to, you know, follow in daddy's footsteps.
Yeah.
Which,
it's like one cockroach. One cockroach is another cockroach. Jared, what do you think? We got to, like, arrest all the Soroses? I mean, you can't. You know, Kurt's right. It's not just George Soros' money, even though he's got as much money as God.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say I thought Liz did an amazing job. I thought that was a great report. The only one thing I would say counter to it is I think we got to stop referring to Gavin McGinnis, Milo Yiannopoulos as far right. We can let them refer to them as far right. I think they're central. I think we're central. And that's the only thing I would want to say is that if we accept what the left says about us, we position ourselves where they position us, and I don't think we should do that. Other than that, I thought that was an amazing report.
It was a very
amazing.
Good report. Awesome report. Rob,
yeah.
Rob in Canada.
I mean,
Rob, what
yeah.
Rob, what do you got to add? Hey, Rob, do you have a George Soros in your country, or?
Yeah, we have George Soros.
You do.
Justin Trudeau's in meeting with him too, like, and Hillary Clinton. Like, he's paving his road already. Like, he's basically another one of George Soros' sons at this point.
These motherfuckers. Soros has got his fucking tentacles and everything. George, too. You're international. Is Soros everywhere, apparently?
Oh, yes. He's everywhere. And that's the only way to head this off. You've got to kill a snake, you have to cut the head off. And he's using these groups as a way to make way for his New World Order plan. These groups are just pawns. I'll explain that later in my report. But, yeah, he is literally everywhere. Even down in South Africa when I didn't. Sorry?
Go ahead, finish your thought. Go ahead and finish your thought.
No, that was it. I mean, everywhere, literally everywhere.
He is.
Well, I'm glad
everywhere.
You brought,
Kiev and Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, now,
can I mention
what is he? He's
something
a,
I just
he's Hungarian, right? Liz?
Yes, he is.
Right, okay. Well,
but I believe he has
George
American citizenship.
Yeah,
he does.
He's dual. Okay. Now, George Tu, I'm glad you brought up your report because senior international correspondent George Tu tackles anarchy and bam, what do you have, George?
Okay. There's anarchy groups all over the world. There's an uprising that dates back to centuries, but today we see a more sophisticated type of anarchy. It's better organized, it's unified internationally under an assortment of acronyms like BMN, Antifac, BAMN, NAM, 636, and the list is too numerous to mention. These groups extend well into Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, the Caribbean, and the Americas. Anarchist groups now have a powerful financial political allies as well as technological tools never afforded by the past. Failed insurrections that have made that these makes them a much superior threat. What makes these groups more dangerous is that for the first time they have serious financial backing from people like George Soros. They've aligned themselves with the liberal left in the U.S. They are now employing new technologies, using the internet, the dark web, as a worldwide platform to communicate outside the mainstream media, recruiting and brainwashing people, much like the jihadists are doing. With regards to education, they have entrenched themselves in education, radicalizing impressionable minds and securing future generation of radicals. And lastly, for banking system, they now have a means to distribute untraceable monetary funds via Bitcoin, Darkcoin, and cryptocurrency. But despite these new technological advances, they still lack strong unification and are heavily divided among splintering groups and suffer from infighting. But these groups are very good at seeking out weaknesses in failing governments to exploit and push their agenda forward. A classic example was the anarchist uprisings that occurred in Greece during their financial crisis. There are many types of anarchist groups. I'm going to focus on the most dangerous one, the ones that fly a red and black flag that's dissected diagonally, or they fly a flag with an A enclosed by a circle. Notice carefully how all these people are dressed in black, covering their face and hands. They walk in tight formations, flying a very specific flag, but they do not belong to any state. They do not have a national anthem or borders to claim. This group is called anarchist communists, who seek to overthrow capitalist societies and implement a communist utopia. But the end goal is not to have a government, just anarchy, which is crazy in itself. The radical left in Europe, much like the U.S., is using Islam as a battering ram against what remains of democracy. They believe that somehow they will be able to push the Muslims aside and create a socialist utopia. But at the same time, the Islamic forces are taking advantage of this chaos to seed Islam all over the world via an insidious process called civilization jihad, which calls for the peaceful infiltration of a culture and the eventual institution of Sharia law, with their end goal of establishing a caliphate. Anti-fascist mobilization and activism have become very popular throughout Europe, especially in politically polarized societies like Greece and Italy, and more recently with the anti-Brexit movement. But now these anarchist movements have morphed into the new left fringe groups, a new breed of militant Marxist terrorist groups like By Any Means Necessary, which advocate for the violence as a means to an end. When leaders of the movement, like Miss Flecara, a Berkeley middle school teacher, says, "Riots are the voice of the unheard," and she is able to amass large groups provoking looting and rioting that overwhelm the police, we have to stop and take notice and wonder what the hell is going on. So I ask myself, how did we get here? There's been a demonic convergence, an alliance of Islam, the left, social Marxist, creating a social explosion that's led by a motley crew of globe-trotting intellectuals intended on creating chaos. But this newly created alliance is inherently unstable, as it's based on an appallingly flawed philosophy of anarcho-communism, which makes it its own worst enemy. This is crazy. They strive to create a stateless society that focuses on maintaining a stable society when that state completely fails to be ruled by anarchy. This logic is ludicrous. So what is really happening? What's really happening is that they're being played like pawns on a chess game to clear the field for a new world order. On the other hand, throughout history, anarchists and other rebels who mistaken violent clashes for real transformation have ironically only served as an expendable front line and end up creating a conservative revolution, as the case with Trump. The U.S. was fed up with the radical, insane, godless direction Obama placed us on. People intrinsically strive for order, not chaos, peace, not confrontation. moral values, not atheistic transgenderism chaos. Law and order, not anarchy. Obama used the chaos of the manufactured crisis to distract the public as he embedded our society with the Muslim Brotherhood agenda, while emboldening our enemies like Iran and undermining our allies like Israel. I urge you all to be careful not to get caught up in the primitive emotional responses that these groups want. It fuels them, gives them the necessary reason to continue. Unless war is necessary, then obviously we have to fight. Ideas can only go so far without resources. We must find a way to cut off funding to these groups, label them as terrorists, revoke citizenships, arrest more aggressively, and use military force if necessary to send a strong message, regardless of what the mainstream media reports. In addition, the mainstream media must be held accountable as they add fuel to the fire by reporting riots as conscientious civic participation while selectively, biasly, and incompletely covering issues to the point of manufacturing fake news. It's disgusting. That pretty much concludes my report there.
Another awesome report, and man, so many great points. Where to start? Well, one, and you're right, cut off the funding. So cut off the head of the snake is what I believe you said earlier, which would be one of the heads of the snake would be Soros. So Jeff Sessions, I don't even know if he's sworn in yet. It might have happened since we've been on the air, but that's where he needs to go to work. Liz, this rolls right into your report. Which couple points can you point out in your mind that comes to your mind on George Tu's report?
Just that they have their own funding, the Bitcoin and the other forms of currency and the dark internet. It's just scary that's even, who would have thought?
Bitcoins aren't traceable. Am I correct?
No, they are not.
Bitcoins are traceable.
They're not traceable. Okay, see? You can't control something you can't trace. What stands on your head on George Tu's report?
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. First of all, George, you do such an outstanding job on your report. I learn so much. It's just amazing, and thank you for doing that. I will say, I'm just going to address what you put in your conclusion in the last part about not sinking to their level. I have to admit, I really struggle with that because as I watch the events in Berkeley unfold and I see these other news stories, and my blood pressure goes through the ceiling, I want to reach through the screen and I want to grab these people and I want to just beat the ever-loving dog turds out of them because in my heart, I hate them. I hate them because they are trying to destroy my country, and I feel kind of powerless, and that's a bad combination. So I think it's a useful thing to remind us about sinking to their level. I can't promise that I won't because I hate them so much, frankly.
No, you're right because I was thinking the same thing the last couple of days. It's like, one of these motherfuckers could make me do something that I would normally not do, you know,
yeah.
And that's scary. You know, I'm 53 years old. I've never thought about hurting or worse to somebody until recently, you know, and that's a scary thought when you're driven to the feeling that you have no other option. That's scary. Kurt, what comes to your mind on, George Tu's report?
Well, I think it was an awesome report. He has a great way of cut through the bullshit and tying everything together to make it all make sense. The one thing I would say is not only is it just paid protesters and rioters acting as useful idiots for these powers that be, but they're influencing normal everyday lives. You know, and the mainstream media propagates that by spreading the narrative, you know, like with the Berkeley rioters,
they're protesters. They're protesters. They want to exercise their First Amendment right. It didn't have anything to do with their First Amendment right. If it had, they would have sat and listened to Milo speak. You know, so I kind of worry about how much it infiltrates everyday life without anybody actually paying attention or noticing it.
It that's a good point, Kurt. You know, it is actually not about. I mean, you know, they claim to be defenders of speech, defenders of the faith, blah, blah, blah. It's not. You're not defending the faith or the speech if you resort to violence before you even hear what's being said. That's just absolutely fucking ridiculous. Rob up north, what do you take away from George Tu's report?
I think that it's pretty interesting. It's kind of also frightening these people can get access to funds so easily now. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, and there doesn't seem to be a shortage of morons that will fund them. That's what's the scarier part.
Like, are they morons or are they, you know, globalists or Muslims? Like, you know, it's weird. Why would someone want to pay for this? That's, you know, insane.
I
wish I had that answer. George, too, absolute awesome report. You guys have done some of the best reports this show's ever seen since we started March of last year. George is going to forego his White House report to make room for the Antifa reports and their political roundtable.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. I appreciate it. But listen, I'll be back next week with all things Trump, don't you know?
All right, and that brings us to Kurt. Welcome. Let's hear what you have for us, Kurt.
Thanks, Jay. You know, over the campaign, all of you at one point or another in the last year have heard President Trump's slogan, drain the swamp. It's a very catchy catchphrase, and most people never give it a second thought. They equate the term with getting rid of the establishment politicians in Washington and all the bureaucratic bull that comes with it. But out here in flyover country, we know what a swamp is. We think of it as a dank, stagnant, water-filled area with some of the most frightening creatures God ever put on this green earth. But we also know that swamps don't just exist on their own. Swamps are fed by sloughs. Sloughs are less densely populated by trees, weeds, and brush, but they can contain the same dank, dark water and populated by some of the same swamp creatures as well as other critters, just as frightening, but just choose to live a little further out. The sloughs, in turn, are fed by streams and creeks. These meandering water sources course their way across the landscape surrounded by wooded, grassy areas, brooks, and the quickly moving waters are clear and pure at the head of the water, but as they near the sloughs, they become murky and slow. The point of the lesson in the watershed features is that this can be directly correlated to our current political system. President Trump is busy draining a swamp in Washington. Four of the top State Department muckety-mucks have already been asked for their resignation. President Trump also ripped the acting attorney general out by the roots and sent her liberal ass packing. So that desperately needed project is well underway. The trouble is that the waters from the sloughs and further upstream are still flowing into that same swamp. The sloughs are our state governments. Corruption on the state level in many cases can dwarf that of Washington. Take, for instance, Roderick Wright is a Democratic politician who previously represented California's 35th state Senate district until his resignation on September 22nd in 2014. Wright was convicted on 8 counts of voter fraud on January 28th of 2014 and was permanently banned from holding public office. Then there was the case of Senator Leland Yee, who was suspended after his indictment on racketeering, wire fraud, conspiracy, and gun trafficking charges. He was not alone. Democrat Ron Calderon was also fighting a litany of charges, including 24 counts of bribery and fraud and money laundering. All these men were state senators in California. But California is not alone. Most state governments have had at least one person of the slew convicted on a crime that would make Henry Hill blush. Remember the stream? Those streams are our local and county governments. As they near the sloughs, the waters get darker and the corruption rates go up. We all did our part over the last year in getting Donald Trump into the most powerful office in the world. But that fight has only just begun. If we're not vigilant, the waters that run from our little streams and creeks will keep feeding the swamp in Washington. Corrupt local county state officials already in place will do their best to keep their gravy train of money and power in place. We should all be trying to drain our sloughs and divert the creeks to productive use. So if you see corruption, stand up and expose it where you can. If you don't, water will just keep flowing into the same swamp. And that's kind of my perspective on the whole political system here.
You know what? You need to go teach a 10th grade ethics class, because that fucking report right there spelled out the entire fucking ordeal. George G., oh, my God.
Yeah. I tell you what, there's a saying, and it goes like this. You probably all heard it. All politics is local. And I've never seen a better demonstration of it than that. I think the points in the report are absolutely valid. It would be very easy to sit back on our heels and go, woo, Trump's in office, swamp's going to be drained, life is good, and not pay any attention to what's happening locally. And that the corruption is rampant everywhere. And we got to start at the local level and let it move up. That's a great analogy you did, Kurt. It's perfect.
Well, dear, I'm still wowed. I mean, how easier to explain something so fucking complicated? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Liz,
yeah.
Liz, how about your take on that report? God damn.
Amazing. Great job. And right to
Thank
the point.
You. Yeah, I mean, it just connected the dots. Rob in Canada, what do you think, buddy?
I think it's a good report. I also think some of this idea of draining the swamp, too, is it's about sort of revealing what's at the bottom.
I mean, I just...
Oh, I agree.
Wow.
Like, bodies, paydays, or payouts, you know. People disappearing, pay for play.
Yeah, great job. I mean, that really was it was really a 10th grader's way of spelling it out. All right, Jared,
well,
my friend.
I could never teach 10th
grade.
No, go ahead. I could never teach 10th grade civics to anybody, Jay. There's a rule against smacking people in the back of the head.
Not if you watch NCIS. Sorry, I'm an NCIS fan, guys. You know, what can I say? All right, Jared, you with us?
Yes, sir.
All right, what you got for us this week, bud?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to talk about Antifa, and actually I'm going to kind of circle around through a lot of the topics that a lot of people already discussed. So Antifa, it's this group that's kind of emerged on the American scene somewhat recently to people, but it's been more worldwide, and it's been in Europe for a while now. It's kind of grown in USA in response to the current political climate, including, the Trump movement, which they see as fascist. So Antifa means anti-fascist. So basically they are against anything that they think is fascist, and they think anything to the right of them is fascist. So Middle America's fascist, white society would be fascist, Trump or any of his supporters would be fascist. You're all Nazis. If you're a black person that voted for Trump, you're a Nazi. And they believe that best case scenario for them is to destroy you, kill you, and worst case scenario, what they'll deal with is having you afraid to leave your house and then have your internet shut off. That's what I read from their goals online. Basically destroy In worst case scenario, if we just make them afraid to leave their homes and then have them shut off from the internet, then they would feel that they would be successful. Again, anything right of their beliefs is fascist, and they're anti-fascist. They're growing in the United States. They were combined. If you see their colors, it's black and red, which black for, I don't know, I think black might be anarchy and red would be communism. They're the combined viewpoints of anarchy and communism. And if you understand the basic definitions of anarchy and communism, they're complete polar opposites. So it doesn't actually make sense, this group, one which believes in communism, complete and utter government control, and anarchy, which means like no control whatsoever. So the tenets of the group doesn't even really make sense intellectually, which kind of I will talk about throughout this report. Who leads this group? It's hard to find an exact leader for who leads Antifa. If you look at their financial background, if you go to the top, obviously it's George Soros. We've talked about him a lot throughout today's topics. As for how does George Soros get money to people locally fast, I've seen many screenshots over the last 6 or so months, Craigslist screenshots, which are basically advertisements. They don't say Antifa. They basically say protest against Nazis, protest against fascists. We will pay you money, give you bus tickets, and so on and so forth. I'm going to now start collecting those Craigslist screenshots when I see them, because I think this is probably important going forward. So this is one of the ways that people like George Soros get money to people locally fast. Who is behind this movement? We know George Soros is the money from the top. Who are the leaders? Who are the people that show up locally? It's actually hard to find somebody that actually will stand up and speak on behalf of Antifa as an Antifa leader or an Antifa spokesman, because Antifa is very much leaderless as far as its credo. However, there are certain people around that seem to show up at these Antifa protests. One would be Bjorn on Twitter. You can see him at BJORN, Antifa Richard Lewis. It's kind of his name. He was at the He Will Not Divide Us art deal, which was a Shia LaBeouf art deal in New York. It might still be going on. But a bunch of Trump trolls and Trump supporters continuously showed up, and they just they trolled this thing, and they basically took it over. And if you follow that, it's been kind of a hilarity. I believe they're on season 4 or 5 now of the He Will Not Divide Us protests. But this Bjorn and Peter Richard guy was at that He Will Not Divide Us event, standing kind of between the Trump supporters, and at the same time, a day later, at the Berkeley protest. And he was out there with his girlfriend or wife at the Berkeley protest. The same guy, and he's at BJORN on Twitter. This guy was at both events. If you look at him, he actually looks like a Nazi. If you follow the He Will Not Divide Us online stream battles in New York City that Shia LaBeouf put on, the actual people that supported the He Will Not Divide Us event were like white liberals. And if you looked at the Trump supporters that were there, many of them were not white. A couple of them have gained fame. One is called Jackie 4chan, and the other one, I believe, like Persian Jesus. But if you look at this event between the Antifa and the Nazis at the He Will Not Divide Us event, the white people are the Antifa, and the Nazis are this multicultural class of millennial New York people that are no longer willing to buy into leftist politics. So another group that's been talked about is BAM. What BAM is stands for is by any means necessary. I think why that's important, by any means necessary, BAM, they are going to try to achieve their goals by any means necessary, which means they're not coming to the table to
talk and to find common ground. They want to win by any means necessary. One of their leaders is Yvette Falarca. Yvette Falarca was involved in the Sacramento riots last year, which was like actual like white Nazis versus Antifa, and she got like cut in the head or something. But she's the middle school teacher that a lot of people have seen at these events. She's one of the leaders of BAM. Why am I talking about Bjorn and Vet Falarca? Is because there is no leadership for Antifa. Whenever anybody's looking for a leadership person from Antifa, it comes from somebody outside from another organization. This is kind of what I want to get across to people tonight, is that Antifa is a weapon. Antifa is the street arm of the leftists. Nobody on the left, even the people that fund it or the people that are running it, want to be caught with that weapon in their hand. So there is no leader for Antifa. There are outside people, George Soros, Yvette Falarca, this Bjorn guy, involved in the Antifa movement. The next person I'm going to talk about in the Antifa movement is Rebecca Goyette. Rebecca Goyette, G-O-Y-E-T-T-E. That sounds like a joke, Goyes and Goyette, but that is not a joke. That is her last name. She has ties to Antifa. At the Berkeley riots, she was a lady in the street screaming, "I am a professor, I am a professor." If any of you guys saw that video of the crazy lady in the streets at the Berkeley riots screaming about how she's a professor and how everybody needs to listen to her, that is Rebecca Goyette. She has ties to Spirit Cooking with Marina Abramoff. If anybody remembers the Spirit Cooking with Marina Abramoff, that is the Satanist artist that John Podesta used to go to. John Podesta was the campaign leader for Hillary Clinton. So John Podesta would go to these Satanist art movements, and of course it's got to be art. If you said it's real Satanism, obviously people would say, "Oh, that's bad." But you say it's art, people say, "Well, that's awesome." So Marina Abramoff was running these Spirit Cookings that John Podesta was going to. Lady Gaga and other people, Jay-Z, Beyonce, all the elite. Rebecca Goyette shared art galleries and movements with Marina Abramoff. Goyette was the lady in the streets yelling, "I'm a professor, I'm a professor." If you're interested in Rebecca Goyette's online presence, you can check her out at rebogallery.com, rebogallery.com. So she's involved in this Spirit Cooking kind of crazy art. Go check out her website. You can see some crazy shit that I apologize that you would have seen. And both these people and all of them are involved in Pizzagate and Comet Pizza, which I'm sure is another program in itself. But so Yvette Falarca, middle school teacher and spokesman for BAM, by any means necessary. She was involved in the Sacramento neo-Nazi fights. Yvette Falarca and this Bjorn guy. These guys, I don't even know if they're the leaders, but they seem to come to the top as far as being the leader of Antifa, which doesn't really seem to have leaders. So in America, we have Antifa, anti-fascists. There's also Black Bloc, which is, if you look up Black Bloc on like Wikipedia, it actually gives you a definition of Black Bloc as a strategy of fighting people politically you don't agree with. It doesn't give it a label as far as being left or right, and basically what Black Bloc is when you dress up in all black, maybe you wear a helmet and knee pads, maybe you bring some sort of weaponry, and you go and you fight for your political beliefs. This is what Black Bloc is, according to the internet. However, these people never seem to use these strategies on the right side. These seem to be always leftist strategies. So we got Antifa, we have Black Bloc, we have BAM. We have these art movements. And they're all kind of tied to George Soros and the left and the hit people, the artists, the Hollywood insiders. And it's really kind of insidious. And I'm not really a conspiracy theorist in that I believe that all this stuff means everything, but I believe all this stuff means a lot. I'm sorry. That's kind of the end.
No, good, good. No, I was thinking about your statement there at the end was because, I mean, as a show, I think a lot of us are the same way on your closing statement that because, you know, I personally am the type of watch. I'll watch some Alex Jones, but I got to turn it off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some of it I can, like, get into, but then some of it I have to, like, say, I don't know. You know, but that is an absolute great report and a great spelling that out because even about half of that that you report on, I wasn't even aware of. George, or G, I got to get the G figured out. G, what's your take on the report?
Yeah, boy, just a ton of great information in there. Kind of shed the light on quite a few things for me, for sure, Jared. Thanks. And, you know, I guess the thing that strikes me the most is that looking at these people, and it must go to the Black Block thing with, you know, dressing in black and, you know, masks and all of that stuff. I see that, and what I see is an absolute direct correlation to Islamic jihadists that are too cowardly to show their damn faces while they're doing all of this stuff. And I think the similarities there are striking.
One of the things Liz and I, well, I didn't work on the story. Liz worked on the UC Berkeley story. She made the phone calls. I tried to contact Janet Napolitano, the president of UC Berkeley, or the University of California president, as you all well know. Their reps promised me a response by Monday at noon, blah, 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 which that never happened. Liz got thrown up against the wall. But one of the things that Liz and I, or at least for me, I took away from the Berkeley riots was these protesters dressed in all black that were the ones that caused most of the damage. Liz, did you read
cowards.
That?
Yeah, George hit it right on the head. They're cowards. If you're brave enough to do it, show your face.
Well, and another thing is, if you're dressed all in the same uniform, I mean, you know, the U.S. military branches, they dress in the same uniforms. Is that not a combined group effort or terrorist? I mean,
right? It's an organized group.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was getting at. Rob, what's your take? Do you have the same thing in Canada? Do they dress up and hide their faces and their hands? And
yeah, it's definitely a problem here. I know there is some pictures recently, too, of people with those flags on their hats wearing those around. The green triangle and stripes.
Well, they're
definitely
cowards.
Some kinda,
Kurt, do you draw something from these different protests where there seems to be always a group dressed in black?
Well, yeah, I think they consider themselves kind of a paramilitary organization, and anybody that's not U.S. military that does that. Unless you're some kind of law enforcement, you're a terrorist.
Thank you.
You know,
Exactly. Yeah.
And George, too. Now, it's not like a bunch of people woke up and decided, oh, let's go do this protest. But hey, guys, guess what? Let's all dress in black.
No, they're obviously organized. They're militant Marxist groups, and they're there to incite violence. And if you notice, like Yvette Flaquera, she will incite the violence, but she won't commit it, actually. She has the people dressed in black. And to draw an analogy to the terrorists, the only thing they're missing is an AK-47. And that, I guess, would just be a matter of time.
Well,
guys, just...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just Kurt, I hate to jump in here, but maybe we should get them all pussy hats.
I know what I like.
Well, how about this? I got one step forward. How about if you dress all in black, hide your face and your hands and your fingerprints, and you have sledgehammers or hammers in your hand, and you're out at a demonstration, you get fucking shot. How about that?
Works for me.
That's a good plan.
Oh, yeah.
I use my two thumbs up. All right, outstanding work for everyone tonight. That brings us to our break. Tonight's intro music was from Johnny Ray. You can get his ads on Gab, our Gab. We have on Gab. We repost his stuff. Twitter, and we will post them there, as well as our Facebook page. Tonight's political roundtable will be coming up by invite only. It is our featured followers. You can start calling now if you want to get in on it. 646-668-8053. Grab your Georgia sweet tea, hit the can, we'll be back soon. Jay and the team. All right, political roundtable, let's kick it off. California State Senate leader, quote, half my family here illegally. California State Senate President Pro Tem Kevin DeBeon, Democrat, go figure, Los Angeles, said last Tuesday that half his family was in the country illegally using false documents eligible for deportation under President Trump's new executive order against sanctuary jurisdictions. DeBeon, who introduced the bill, made his remarks at a hearing in Sacramento on SB 54, the bill to make California sanctuary state. Quote, I can tell you half my family would be eligible for deportation under President Donald Trump's executive order because if they got a false Social Security card, if they got a false ID, if they get a false driver's license prior to us passing AB 60, if they got a false green card, and anyone who has family members you know who are undocumented knows that most certainly everybody has secured some sort of false identification. That's what you need to survive, to work. They are eligible for mass deportation. Liz, they need to be deported. What's your take?
Yes, they do. Infuriating.
I love Liz's straight to the point. I love it. No, I'm with you. What's your take?
Yeah, I think that the state of California needs to consider that, first of all, as a letter of resignation from that guy. If they do anything but consider it as that, then they are every bit as screwed up as I assume that they are. And we should tell them, thanks for volunteering, to have all your peeps get moved out of the country there, dude. It pisses me off.
Well, you know, pretty much it's kind of like, thanks for playing, but...
Yeah, wrong answer.
All right, Kurt, what's your take on it?
Who are you looking for, Jake?
Kurt.
Oh. I would. If somebody needs to tell his family, pack your shit. But aside from that, this guy has just betrayed his oath of office. You know, he's a state senator in California. And under Article 20, Section 3 of the California Constitution, he's not upholding the laws and the Constitution of the United States or the state of California.
Thank you very much. Do they not all hold their hand up and say they swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I can read it to you.
Let's see who we got next. I know you can. Jared, what's your take on it?
Well, yeah, I think they should be arrested for treason, but that's probably not going to happen.
Well, not in California anyway. Yeah, but he'll probably get a fucking medal. Rob in Canada, what's your take?
I'm with Jared. They should be put in jail and then deported.
Yeah, it's just, oh my God, it just makes my head want to explode. George, too.
Well, he's an accessory to a crime just by admitting that his family used falsified documents. But the whole problem is that his voter base, the people that voted for him, are most likely illegal immigrants with illegal voter IDs.
Yeah, correcto. Correcto.
Entering to
very
space.
Good point. Have I missed anybody? Did I miss anybody? Did I get everybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 2. Yeah, I got everybody. Okay. Next. Now, we had one of these submitted by one of our team members. Here's a simple question, guys. Are we headed to civil war? Liz.
Very possibly. We're very, very divided, and I think it's with all the protests and riots that it's a very good possibility.
Scary but possible. Kurt.
I think we already are. I think we're already in a civil war. You watch on Fox News or CNN the riots out there in California. You're watching a terrorist group attack your country, and it's backed by one political party. I think we're already there.
No, that's a very, very good point. George, too.
I agree with him. I think that we're at the beginning of what could be a civil war. Now, I do see a World War III looming with the different alliances I've been following, and that could disrupt the focus on the civil war. But if we do go to any type of civil war, it'll be first with California. So we need to deal with this sanctuary city crap first. And then worry that we don't get into a World War III.
Agreed. George G., what's your take?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I think absolutely we are headed that direction. And I hadn't considered it until just now when George mentioned it. But, boy, you know what? If we are in the middle of a civil war with our country essentially being torn apart and World War III happens, and I don't think that would bode very well. And you know what? Perhaps maybe the people that are pushing for World War III, that's exactly what their plan is. Scary.
Good point. Rob from Canada, is America headed for a civil war? What's your take up north?
I don't think so, but I do think if another liberal gets elected in Canada, there will be one north of you.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. All right. Damn. Jared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think culturally we're there. I think we're having one culturally. Physically, I think one's starting to happen. But I don't think that it's our fault because I don't think we're pushing for it. I don't think we're, like, out in the streets making it happen. I think we're doing everything we can do to make it not happen.
So you think, Jared, outside forces?
Well, I mean, I think that there's people on the left that want it. And there's outside forces. I think there's the left is tied with, you know, getting it's globalism. I mean, the worldwide. There's plenty of countries that we pay their bills, and they don't want that money to stop coming. And the Trump movement is the movement against those sorts of things. So there's a lot of people out there in the world that are really upset that their money might stop coming to them from American taxpayers, and they're willing to fight for that money because they now believe it's their birthright.
Right. Okay, good points, guys. All right, Texas Sheriff releases 39 criminal aliens in the first 2 days of sanctuary policy. Despite the loss of state law enforcement grants, Travis County Sheriff Sally Hernandez followed through and released 39 criminal aliens during the first 2 days of her sanctuary policy. Records obtained by Breitbart, Texas from Texas Travis County Sheriff's Office revealed that Sanctuary Sally, that's her name, released 37 criminal aliens from custody on February 1st. Two more criminal aliens were released on the following day. The Sheriff's Office stated that Sheriff Hernandez declined 191 immigration detainers that were received by her office before February 1st. Eight more immigration detainers received after February 1 were also declined. The Sheriff also declined four requests from immigration officials to be notified on the pending release of the criminal aliens in her custody. Sheriff Hernandez did not refuse all requests from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials. 30 immigration detainers that were received by her office before February 3rd, changing policy, were honored by the office. Guys, should she be a sheriff or not? Liz, what's your take?
No, she should be in jail.
Again, our lovely Liz, always straight to the point. You should be on the federal judiciary. I swear to God you should be. My God, what is up with these people? Kurt, what's your take on this?
Well, I think Liz is absolutely right. And you've got to wonder, aside from her oath of office, which she had to take, why is she turning some of them down and holding others? You know, what's her end game on this?
That's
you know,
a very
hell,
good question.
She in
what were the offenses? Yeah.
Oh, you know, who's to say she's not in with a cartel out of Mexico?
Oh, wow. I never thought about that. George, too, what's your take?
Well, she cannot supersede federal law, and I think her ignorance makes her immediately unqualified, and she should be fired for dereliction of duty. But that point with the Mexican cartel, that's very interesting. Something to look into.
Very.
I did find she was married six times to four different men. That doesn't say
what?
Much, but
holy fucking shit!
I was trying to find out where she.
She shouldn't be called Sanctuary Sally. She should be called Sally Did Texas.
I think. Yeah, there you go.
Holy fucking good God, bar the door, Sadie. All right, George, what's your take?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that one of the headlines from tonight will help quell some of this, you know, with the senators voting to completely ban sanctuary cities. They'll be able to override that. Governor Abbott there apparently is definitely going to try and take a hard line on this. And, you know, I'm really glad to see it. But in kind of an offshoot of it, I saw several times this past the past couple of weeks a picture on Gab of a judge sitting on the bench wearing a pussy hat. And I think it was Travis County in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. What the hell's going on there?
You know what? I think you're right. I saw the same thing. And I believe you're right. We'll check that out. We'll check that out and we'll report back to people. Rob in Canada, don't think less of us. What's your take?
I think that this sheriff should be put in jail. And if any of these criminals she released commit a crime, she should be charged with criminal negligence.
Oh, wow. Even better. Jared, what's your take?
Yeah, I don't like sheriff activists or small county clerk activists. I think if you have a job to do, your job is to do your job. And it should, if it's a non-political position, you should not be political. And if you can't do that, you should be fired.
I agree. Totally agree. Totally 100% agree. Hey, G, how's my time? Am I all right?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We're getting down there.
Okay.
I think we got room for maybe one, maybe two more.
All right, let's see. Let's go through this. Oh, shit. Damn, you packed this through, didn't you? Okay, let's do this one. All right, let's get to this one and maybe one more. All right, nearly two-thirds of Navy planes grounded, two-thirds, folks, grounded due to years of budget cuts. Years of budget cuts have taken a toll on the Navy's fleet of strike fighters. Nearly two-thirds of the U.S. Navy strike fighters are sitting unused because there is not enough money to repair them, according to DaVinciNews.com. The Navy has had to deal with declining budgets in recent years, even though the demand for military aircrafts, carriers remained the same. Congress was unable to produce a budget before October 1, start of 2017 fiscal year. Political leaders say Congress' inability to pass a military budget on time is hurting the fleet. In addition to the grounded planes, there isn't enough money to fix the Navy ships either. Maintenance of ships have been canceled or deferred. When military vessels are finally brought in for repair, it often takes more time to complete the work. Some submarines in the fleet have been out of service for long periods of time, in some cases more than 4 years. One sub, the Boise, even lost its diving certification because it was out of commission for so long. Obama created this. I'm going to cut it short. Guys, I can't believe this. Liz, what's your take?
What are they doing with my tax dollars? Oh, my God. Our poor military. It's a disgrace to this country. It just mind-boggling.
What they've done to our, what Obama has done in this military is unspeakable.
It's dangerous. Our men, our women that are fighting for this country.
Yes, two-thirds.
Where did all the money go?
Well, I probably went to Iran, my love. All right, Kurt, what's your take?
I think I want a refund.
Right. Hey, Kurt, what's your take?
You know, around Christmas time or right before the inauguration, you know, all of our aircraft carriers were in port. That's the first time that's happened since World War II. Every single carrier was in port. And, you know, Obama has relied on drones and this and that. And, you know, you go to Hobby Lobby, get your drone, and go to war. You know, that's kind of how his idea has been. And they've just let everything go to hell.
A drone cannot replace a strike carrier force.
No, absolutely it cannot. And, you know, it's pathetic.
It's criminal.
Pathetic.
If you guys ask me, it's criminal.
Well, look how they treat the veterans. Look at the VA.
That's criminal, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, another story for another time. George, too, what's your take?
My biggest concern is that there's a huge gap in technology. The Russians and the Chinese have an advantage over us in electromagnetic weapons. They've already disabled one of our destroyers, completely all communications, all engines. They also have, the Russians have a cloaking plasma device they use on planes to make them invisible to radar. As well, the Chinese and the Russians both have hypersonic planes, which we have no defense. And to add insult to injury, we don't have any mobile ICBMs. So we have to do a lot of catching up. Obama really did a good job at gutting our military, including paying for transgender sex changes and modifying the manual on how to deal with transgenders.
Oh, my God, don't get me started on that fucking one. George, what's your take?
Yeah, I'll make it short and sweet. We are not the only ones who are paying attention to the deterioration of our military. I'll just leave it at that.
But, yeah, I get you. Rob in Canada, what's your take?
Well, it's definitely bad because we've already had the same problem in Canada for far too long. So if North America is completely lax, then it opens the door for people to walk in.
Yeah, that's a scary thought, the entire continent. Jared, what's your take?
Yeah, I don't like our military being left dry. I think we should invest a little bit more into it. I don't think we should go backwards and fix all those broken plans. I think we should move forward. And with a G that was talking about, like, the supersonic planes that I didn't know existed. But, I mean, that doesn't surprise me that the Russians and the Chinese are developing capabilities that we're not. And so I think we should reinvest in the military and move forward to, like, the latest and best technologies.
Very good points, guys. Thanks to the team for an outstanding job tonight. We are sad, very sad, to report to you. This will be Liz's last full night on the show. Liz, we love you. You have grown so much, and you are welcome back here anytime. Catch the show next week, same time, same place, for Radio Infidel with Tina, George, and Jay, the entire team. God bless. Good night. It's time for final thoughts. Liz, final thoughts.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure to be here, and I appreciate all the patience that you've had, and I'll be around.
You've
good
been
night,
amazing,
everyone.
Love. You've been amazing. Thank you so much for your service and what you've done. Kurt, final thoughts.
Well, I think our battle has just started. We got Trump in the White House. We're making progress, but as time goes on and the libs keep getting slapped in the face, the battle's going to get harder.
Very good point. Thank you very much. George, too, final thoughts. George, too. We have George, too? All right, George, final thoughts. Yeah, go ahead. George, too, final thoughts.
Okay, I'm going to take an extra minute if it's fine.
My
analysis of the insanity of the liberal logic. Liberals have lost their ability to distinguish facts from opinions, a process necessary for critical thinking. And this is due in large to their lack of God in the process. I'm going to draw an analogy to what is known in the aviation industry as spatial disorientation, which occurs when you lose sight of any visual reference and must rely and trust on your instrumentation, as your instincts are almost always wrong. Just close your eyes, have someone spin you, and with your eyes closed, try to find your way. Liberals with no moral compass to guide them, the truth becomes relative, a Salalinsky dogma. In this relativism, there is no absolute truth, and their point of view is relative to their perception, which is constantly changing. In a case become injustice collectors, with no real solution except destruction of the only two things that stand in their way, the Constitution and the Ten Commandments. There's no true north to guide them, so they fall for false prophets like Muhammad, and they themselves become false prophets, espousing liberal falsehoods. When you believe in nothing, you will fall for anything. Let this be a warning. We are just one generation away from a total transformation of what's normal. We are literally fighting for the spiritual, physical, and intellectual soul of this country. That's my final note.
Thank you very much. George, final thoughts.
Yeah, well, first, I'd just like to say, Liz, I'm going to miss the heck out of you. You know, it's been short. It's been real sweet. A real pleasure working with you. I really do hope that you will continue to come and guest now and then so that we can, you know, catch up. The door is always open, darling. It's always open for you. But other than that, I'd just like to say it's been, yeah, you are welcome. It's been a great show every single week. I learned so much from you people. It's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. Everybody, go ahead and just stay safe this week, all right? Love you all.
Thank you much. Rob, final thoughts from Canada.
My final thoughts are all the liberals out there should be ready to take responsibility for the things they're welcoming into America and Canada. These molestations, murders, rapes, they should be sharing those on their Facebook things, not this, oh, I'm with them bullshit. Like, stand up for it and own it if you're going to support it. That's my final thought.
Hey, Rob, you do me a favor real quick. I've got to hear you say one time, hey.
Hey.
Thank you. Jared, final thoughts.
Yeah, the latest thing I saw actually today before the program on George Soros was in the last 2 weeks to less 4 weeks, George Soros bought either the controlling amount of stock in Netflix or enough to sway the direction of Netflix to where they've added the show called Dear White People. I think they got it from MTV. And the show basically is African Americans and other ethnic minorities explaining their complaints towards white people. And I think fair is fair. If we cannot have a show where white people explain to black people their issues with them or vice versa or any direction, then there shouldn't be shows where white people are chastised by non-white people on television. And George Soros was behind that. And it's happening now. So there's a boycott Netflix movement now because of this television program. If you support...
All right,
support,
we'll make
know,
sure... No, we'll make sure you get us the links, send the links over in the DM. Sure we'll get on top of that, make sure we put it out. All right, guys, we thank you very much, as always, for joining us. The team, we couldn't do it without you. You know, God bless America. Not all of bless America, but if the leftists have their way, it'll only be a matter of under a decade when we are in the same position that Europe is. Say goodnight, team. Good night.
Night, everybody.
Night, team.
Night.
Night.